Nice to see everyone who's come along this evening. Can we open our Bibles, please, in Matthew's Gospel, chapter 6. Matthew chapter number 6. Just a few verses there. Beginning at verse 19. Matthew 6, verse 19 says, "Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through and steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also." And Mark chapter 8, please. Mark 8, verse 36. "For what shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul?" And then over into 2 Corinthians, please. So Mark, Luke, John, Acts, Romans first, and then 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians chapter number 4. And just a final verse there, verse 18. "While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal." Trust that the Lord will bless the reading of his word to us. Maybe just ask again for his help. God and Father, we do again come into thy presence. We do again, our Father, come to thee with a sense of our need. And we do ask and pray, our Father, that these words, our Father, which we have read, and that, our Father, which thou hast laid upon my heart, we do pray that they might come forth, Father, with power and much assurance and with the Holy Ghost. We do, our Father, lay ourselves completely upon thee and ask for thy blessing, Father, that souls might be won and saved through the preaching of thy word tonight. We ask these things and give thee thanks again for thy Son in his own most worthy and precious name. Amen. I want to think tonight from these three passages that we've read about things that are going to last and things that are not. And really, the points that I have are really, the first thing is about possession, about things in the world which I hope to show you are not going to last. And then I want to think about your priorities, the things which are going to last, and the things which I and the Bible would say you need to fix your priorities on. And then I want to think about a word, perdition, which isn't really in usage, or separation. The separation that occurs when you fix your mind and your heart and your soul on the things which are only going to last and forget about the thing that will. So, possession and priorities, and then perdition. In our reading, in all three readings, I don't know whether you maybe picked it up, the general theme was that what I've said, some things are going to last and the other things are just going to pass away. That some things are just going to last for perhaps a few months, maybe a few years, but in the grand scheme of things, they will just pass away. And you might have noticed in Mark's Gospel that we thought about something which is going to stay, and it's going to stay with you for eternity. The things which are going to pass away are those material things that you have in your life. Cars or money or whatever it is. And the thing which is going to stay, the thing which is going to abide forever, is your soul. The passages that we read asked us to fix our heart and our eyes and our soul on the thing which is going to last. But I want to ask, and the Bible is really asking you tonight, where are your priorities fixed? What have you set your heart on? What have you got your eyes fixed on? What's your end goal? What is the thing which has the precedence and the priority in your life? And I hope to show you where you need to set your priorities. If your priorities aren't fixed in the right place, according to the Word of God, then I hope to show you where they should be fixed. Does it take you a great deal of effort to find out where the priorities of the majority of people in this village, in the country, are fixed? You turn on your television, don't you? And you see people whose priority is fame. I mean, Celebrity Big Brother or Big Brother or X Factor or Britain's Got Talent or any of these things. Fame's their priority. They want everybody to know about them. Money. How many things are on television which are really just there so that people can win money? And preposterous amounts of money at that. You think of game shows like Who Wants to Be a Millionaire or any of these things. The priority is all about getting fame and about getting fortune, about getting money, about being popular. I don't know anybody who goes out and deliberately sets about to be unpopular. I know people who are unpopular, but they don't try to be unpopular. Everybody really just desires to have popularity and for people to like them and for people to want them. That's where the priorities of most people lie, down here. They lie fixed on the thing which is just going to last for a wee while. Because fame and fortune and popularity, well, you're lucky if they'll last you a couple of years, never mind eternity. The popularity goes along with the money. The fame goes once you get too old, or once your voice gets bad, or none of these things last. But people still set their priorities there. People still strive their hardest and put everything that they have into getting these things. The first reading told us that although it spoke about money, that all of these things are going to pass away. In Matthew chapter number 6, it really, what it says to us is that although you might have the treasure now, that moths and rust are going to corrupt them, going to break them. And they're going to, these things that you're really intent upon, these things that you really love, well, they're just going to break, pass away. And perhaps it's money that's your priority. Gold and silver and precious stones. Well, the Bible says, 2 Peter, that your gold and silver and precious stones and that your fancy house and your fancy car, if moth and rust don't have time to corrupt them, then the end of the world will. Because the Bible tells us that all of this here will just burn with a loud noise and it'll be finished. It tells us elsewhere in Scripture that God is one day just going to take all of this stuff that's important to you. All of the gold and silver and precious stones, all of the possessions that you have, and any friends and family that don't know the Lord Jesus, and he's just going to fold it up. Finished. Never to appear again. Does it seem like a very sensible thing to fix your priorities on, does it? And if your priorities are fixed in those things, then the Bible tells us they are not going to last forever. They are not God's priority. And they shouldn't be yours either. That's what the Word of God is telling us in these verses. That God has a priority which is greater than these things, and that you ought to have that very same priority. Because gold and silver and precious stones and all of the rest of it won't last. But there is a thing that will last. The Bible calls it our soul. It's that thing which gives you life. When God made Adam in the garden, He breathed into him and he became a living soul. When there's no soul, there's no life. As soon as your soul departs your body, then we call it death. And that will last. That thing which is undying, the bodies will die, and the memories will die. Any memories that people have of us, they'll eventually go, and they'll not remember your name anymore. But the soul will rip. The soul will still be there. The soul will still last. What did the reading say in Mark's Gospel? That even if a man gains every single thing in this world, it's worth nothing in comparison to your soul. You think about all of the material wealth there is in the world, that which we've drawn out of it, and that which we perhaps haven't got to yet, gold and silver, oil and coal, all of the precious stones which are buried below this earth, all of the power which is even able to be harnessed in waves and wind. You just think about all that the world is and all of the wealth that's there, and you think about how much value people put on it. Think about every war over the past 100 years. People know how valuable it is, and they want to fight for it, and they all want to control it, and millions of people have died because of that. God says this: it's all worthless in comparison to your soul. All of that wealth is nothing. The priority for God is your soul. Christ spoke those words in Mark 8. The Lord Jesus was the one who said that your soul was valuable. Do you know how much value Christ put in your soul? He put so much value in your soul that He died for it. That thing which will last forever, Christ knew the importance of it. Christ knew that what really needed to be sorted in your life was not a new car, wasn't it physical health. It was your soul that needed fixed. It was your soul that needed dealt with. Christ knew that, and Christ died for it. Because you see, when the God of heaven looks at your soul, if you don't know His Son, all that He sees is a soul with a dark blot against it. A soul which is debarred from His heaven because of the filth of your sin. Your sin doesn't have to be particularly bad in human terms. But if you've ever sinned, in fact, if you were ever born, which I trust most of us were, then God looks at your soul. and he sees debarred from heaven. And Christ knew that if you were debarred from heaven, then you were heading for hell. And by the way, if you don't know the Lord Jesus, if you've never been born again, if you've never asked God to come into your heart and to save you, then that's still where you're heading. Christ knew that. Because he's the one that wrote the book. God, by his Son, told us, get your soul sorted out. Because he knew exactly what danger it was in. He knew that you were in danger of hell. And he knew that you needed your soul fixed. When Christ went to the cross, what were the first words that he cried? Father, forgive them. When Christ hung on that cross, he had you and he had me on his mind. He had every single sin that you've ever committed pressing down upon him on the cross. A lot of people think about the physical agony of it, and it must have been horrible just to have the weight of your body held up by nails. How horrible it must have been physically. But try in some measure just to think about what he went through spiritually. The things that no one ever saw. Because when Christ was punished for your sin and for mine, the sky went black. Nobody saw what happened to him. Nobody could feel what went on in Christ's soul when he was punished for your sin and for mine. But all that he could say is, Father, forgive them. Because Christ knew how important your soul was. Christ knew how important your soul is. He knew that if that soul was to be, was to pass out of this world, was to leave your mortal body with no relationship with him, having never asked them to save it, then it would be separated from him forever. God, says the apostle, is willing that none should perish. God doesn't want anybody to be separated from him. God wants you to repent, to turn away from your sin, and that sin, whether it is something serious, I don't know, or whether it is simply that love for money that we've spoken about, whether it is simply that desire for wealth that we've spoken about, that thing which just forces God out, or that desire for any earthly thing that just puts God to the side, just puts him on the back burner. Whether it's that, or a serious sin, or anything in between, God can see that that's going to debar you from his heaven, and he doesn't want that. That's why he says, through the apostle, that we shouldn't fix our eyes upon that which is seen. That's why he says through Paul here in 2 Corinthians that we've got to fix our eyes beyond this. That we've really got to fix our mind on something greater than what the world can offer us. Verse 18 tells us, and that's just really what I'm trying to get over to you, that the things which you can see in this world are all going to go away. The Bible says that they're temporal. It's temporary. Just here for a short time. Then they'll pass away. It's just in the same way as James says later on, as the Apostle Paul speaks in 2 Corinthians. James says the same thing in his own letter. What really is all of this? Paul speaks about the material things in your life, but James speaks about your actual physical life. James says, doesn't he, that your life is but a vapour, which appeareth a little while and vanisheth away. We've spoken in that here before, and it's exactly the same message tonight, that the things which you've got your priorities fixed on, the material things in the world, the friendships, the relationships, all of those things are going to pass away. But your soul is never going to pass away. Your soul's always going to be there. Eternity is where God wants to meet you. And he wants to take you to his heaven when you pass out of this world. And what a hope we as Christians have to look to that place and to see that no matter what happens in this world, we've got something better. The Bible tells us that that thing which is before us is an inheritance which is incorruptible, undefiled. The thing which Christians have got to look forward to isn't going to ever be corrupted by moths or rust. No one's ever going to steal it. And it's worth more than this whole world. The Bible says that if we gain the whole world, that will never be worth more than our soul. Because that home in heaven that we have is worth more than this whole world can ever offer us. It was a missionary to South America called Jim Elliot, and we've heard the quotation here before, and it really says this, that the man is not a fool who gives what he cannot keep to gain what he cannot lose. The man is not a fool. People might look at Christians and think, you know, you're foolish. You've given up the things of the world. Jim Elliot says, no, I'm not a fool. Because I've given up things which I can't keep. The things of the world, the friendships and the relationships, I've given them up for something so much better. I've given them up for something that I can't afford to lose. Because if I lose it, if I lose a home in heaven, then I'm heading for what is a lost eternity. Because that's a reality. The eternity that Christians are going to spend in heaven will also be an eternity where those who haven't got their priorities straight will spend their time in hell. And people maybe don't like to think about it. And people maybe don't want to focus on it. But the Bible tells us that we've got to tell you about it. That place, this is the perdition that we spoke about, that place of separation from God, that place where we'll look, or if we've never asked the Lord Jesus into our heart, we'll look and we'll see that what Craig said in 2010 was right, and we'll look behind us and we'll see that all of those things on which we fixed our priorities have passed away. And after the judgment, we'll look behind us and we'll see that even the world upon which we planted our feet has been passed away. And we'll look and we'll see that we were fools because we didn't give up what we couldn't keep. And we lost what we couldn't afford to lose. There is a story, isn't there, in Luke's Gospel about a man, two men. One whose priority was fixed on the things that are spoken about. He just called the rich man. And that tells you everything that you need to know about him. His priorities were fixed on the things of the world. Probably upon a big business. And he was rich. And he thought nothing about God. And you might not be rich in here tonight. You might have, your priorities might be friends or family. But that was what he thought about. And there's another man, Lazarus. And we've spoken on this before as well. And he had his priorities straight. Hadn't a penny. But it didn't matter. Because he had his priorities fixed in that thing which is most important. And when the both of them died, Lazarus, the discoverer, had laid up for himself treasures in heaven. And he went to that place where those treasures were. The rich man wasn't just separated from his treasure at death. He was separated from God for eternity. The Apostle Paul in 1 Timothy tells us, and men and women have coined the phrase now, that it is certain that we have brought nothing into this world. And it is certain that we carry nothing out. That was what Paul knew to be a reality. That's what the rich man had to discover was the reality. That everything that was past, that everything that he had focused on in life, all of that material wealth, all of the family and friends was passed away. And that thing which he should have focused on was separated from God forever. The Lord Jesus, as we've said, knew the importance of fixing your eyes on the things on before. He spoke about it in Matthew 6. He spoke about it in Mark 8. And he speaks about it as well in Mark 1. And Mark gives us a summary, really, of the whole message of the Lord Jesus. Mark chapter 1, verse 15 says that, well, the Lord Jesus says, "Repent ye and believe the gospel." But not just a wide call. Not just something that was kind of vague. He tells us why we need to repent and believe the gospel. Because the time is fulfilled, says the Lord Jesus. That means these things which we focus our eyes and our mind and our soul on are about to pass away. The kingdom of God is at hand, says the Lord Jesus. That thing which God has warned us about, that we ought to fix our eyes on, is about to come. And he says, "Repent ye, turn away from all of your sin. Turn away from those things which have fixed your heart and your mind and your soul on. And fix your eyes on that thing which isn't temporal, which won't pass away, but which is eternal. A home in heaven." In Mark as well, there's a man, a rich young man, and he's tried everything to work his way into heaven. He's tried to keep the commandments. In fact, when the Lord Jesus questions him, he says, "Lord, I've kept every single one of them from when I was a wee boy." The Lord Jesus tells him, "One thing that you're lacking, sell everything you've got, give it to the poor." But didn't he like that? And he walked away. That man lost a home in heaven, we're led to believe. Because he found the things of the world more attractive than the Son of God. Don't make that mistake. The things in the world are going to pass away. It's a fact of life. We've seen things just rot before our eyes. We see human bodies fall apart before us, break before us. None of us are going to live forever, and none of this, even this building in which we stand, this will never last forever. Don't make the mistake of putting all your trust in that. The Lord Jesus says, "Repent ye and believe the gospel." Believe that the Lord Jesus Christ has died for you. Believe that he has died to give that soul of which we've put so much importance tonight. He's died for you to give that soul a home in heaven. And one day he'll come back and your body will go as well. In a time not too far away. He'll repent ye and believe the gospel. What did we say? Jim Elliot said that he's not a fool who gives what he cannot keep, the things of the world, to gain what he cannot lose. If you lose your soul, it can never be regained. If your soul is separated from God, it can never be reunited. Once you get to eternity, once you see God, and God condemns your soul to hell, it stays there for eternity. And unlike the things of the world which we've spoken about, eternity will never have an end. There will never be a point where that corrupts and finishes. There will never be a point where God will just close eternity. That will stay forever and ever and ever. The Bible says in John's Gospel, chapter 3, that if you have the Son, then you have life. But if you don't have the Son, if you've fixed your mind and your priorities on something else, then you have no life. But the wrath of God, the wrath of the righteous, holy God who's given his Son to die for you, will rest upon you for eternity. We trust that the Lord will bless his word to us, shall we pray. Our God and Father, we do just come into thy presence. We give thee thanks, our Father, that thou hast given thy Son to die on a cross at Calvary, our Father, that our souls, these worthless, our Father, souls, these souls, our Father, who have caused thee so much heartache, we give thee thanks that these souls can have a home in heaven. We give thee thanks, Father, for the preaching of thy word in this place tonight. And we do pray that any who are in, who know not thy Son, might have been touched by it, Father. That any, our Father, who have gathered, who have never trusted in thy Son, the Lord Jesus, we do pray that they might be saved at the preaching of thy word tonight. We pray, Father, then, thy blessing upon us as we part. And do ask, Father, that thy word might go with each and every one of us, bringing, our Father, lessons for Christians as well as those, our Father, who are unsaved. We ask these things. Give thanks again for thy Son, and his own most worthy and precious name.